Good morning. Welcome. I'm going to invite Norm to come up and share with us. It's interesting, Norm. Sometimes he says things which I've sometimes thought, they almost sound like just platitudes. Does he really believe them? And a real testing place for what people actually believe is what happens when everything's up the creek and they're going through a tough time. And the thing that I found from conversations with Norm across the whole cancer experience was that the things that he said when things seemed to be going pretty well on the surface, which you could sort of write off as maybe might be platitudes, when he was facing the major threat from the cancer, his faith was still the same. It was there and it was real and it was hugely encouraging to me. So I'm going to ask Norm to come up and share with us now. Actually, I'll just pray for him as he speaks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Norm, and we pray that as he speaks to us now, you'll give him clarity in his words, in his thoughts, and we pray that you'll speak to us through him by your Spirit. Amen.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Excuse me. Great to be here. The title of my talk this morning is I don't do good. It's okay. The hand of God. And I think it's beautiful. The hand of God. I can't tell you how big his hand is, but it holds his creation in it. The verse in the Bible that was so helpful and comforting to me was around the time after my iPod. I can't quite put a time on it, but it was Psalm 139, verse 5. And it, of course, it's written by King David, who was a shepherd boy, and it says, "You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me." And I have no doubt, no hesitation, no anything at all. The Lord put his hand on me. So now, I had a cough and we'd arranged to have holidays. Still had a cough. And Jan said, "Oh, you better get him checked up." So I went to see the doctor. And, of course, a test, and the doctor wasn't happy. And X-ray, pneumonia. Okay, antibiotics. And you have to take the antibiotics. 4 weeks, finished. Okay, you went to another doctor in Quarumup. You can do that. And you're cleared. Off you go. 6 months holiday in Adelaide. Towed the caravan behind us. Great. Got to Adelaide. We're staying about, I'll say, 8 miles south of Adelaide. Our friend's house was on the slope of a hill. And when they built their house, they built a flat underneath. And that was our base. So there's trees and bushes and shrubs. It gets a little bit cold or cool at times in the hills, depending. Pardon me. Anyhow, I still had a tickle, a cough. And Jan said, "You need a puffer." Well, quite a lot of us in this room would know what a puffer is, you know, if you have asthma and things like that. So I rang the doctor, made an appointment, went in and said, "My wife says I need a puffer." And the young doctor, he'd just been out from England for 4 months with his wife and 2 children, and he said, "How come?" I said, "Oh, I told him the story I've just told you." He said, "We won't go down that pathway." He said, "Here's a few other things we'll do before that. First thing's an X-ray." Okay. X-ray at the local hospital, just 2 kilometres down the road. And then, day after that, or whatever, I got a phone call on my mobile. And he said, "I'm not happy with the X-ray." He said, "Get a scan." So I had to go to another place to get a scan because the hospital only had certain size equipment. Anyhow, then I got a phone call from the receptionist. The doctor's receptionist said, you've got an appointment on Friday morning. I said, yes, correct. She said, the doctor wants to see you Monday morning at 8:30. Okay, shall do. Week early, you know. So Jan and I walked in, sat down. He said, I hate to tell you this, but you have a 43 millimetre in diameter cancerous growth on your left lung. What do you want to do? So Jan and I, what do you want to do about it? Yeah, finish the sentence. And we both said, as much as possible in Adelaide. Okay, away we go. Scans, blood tests, lung function tests. I can tell you about that, but I didn't bring the secret Russian weapon with me. That's a ripper. Anyhow, the day before I went into hospital, my friend Lloyd lives in South Australia. He said to me over the phone, he said, Norm, the Lord goes everywhere with you, even into the theatre. He said, not only that, not only there, this sickness, this happening to you, will go everywhere, to people everywhere, to believers and unbelievers. And that is exactly what happened. The first incident was, we were attending a Bible study on a Thursday morning at an Anglican church, and the man, it wasn't his church, but he used to take the study, and he knew we were having tests. He said, how are you going with your tests? I said, next week I go into hospital. Oh, he said, would you like me to pray for you? I said, sure. Okay, after the Bible study, he told everyone there, he said, Norm won't be with us next Thursday. He goes into hospital, he said, I'm going to pray. So I was sitting down the front with Jan, and he just walked forward, laid his hand on my shoulder, and then about 1 second later, there's another hand on my shoulder. So he prayed for me, and after the prayer, it was time for a cup of tea. And I was waiting there for a cup of tea, and a lady came up to me. She's about 65. She said, that man who laid his hand on your shoulder was my husband. She said, we're private people, we're Anglican. He has never, ever done that before in his life. The second thing happened was, my friend had talked to me on the phone again. He said, Norm, he said, I have told people about your illness. He said, it's therapeutic for them because their 12-year-old boy has been diagnosed with leukemia. He said, there's a father and wife, 8 children in the family of all ages. The 12-year-old boy is the youngest. And 2 of them are coming back from Darwin. They're gathering round to pray. So he said, I can see for them to pray for you, it's therapeutic, takes their mind off their own concern. And for you also. So for me, over 70, with on the lung, praying for him. The third thing was Jan's youngest sister, 16 years younger, lives at Rockingham. And what she does every day, she reads the text in the West Australian. Those of you who know, there's always a Bible text in the West. And that's her habit. She's not a believer, but she sent me this card. And, of course, you know, we have a bit of a joke about Christianity and things now and then. And she said, now, don't get too excited about this, Norm. She had stuck 3 of the day's readings in the card. Don't get too excited about the above, Norm and John. I always read the text, the day's text in the paper. But last week, these helped me not to worry as much about you. Love, Deb. That's beautiful, isn't it? And then the fourth place where this has gone to is the men's breakfast at Margaret River. So by the grace of God, I'm here today to share this with you. Page 2. Good. After all the tests, I was in hospital the day before the operation, and you get preparation. Some of us may know that. They need that time. And Jan was back in our flat reading her Bible. And her Bible reading that particular day was John chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. And it was, if you're familiar with the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and they'd come to Jesus and they said, Lazarus is sick, dying. If you had been there, he would not have died. And Jesus deliberately took 3 days to go there. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God and his Son in this. And to Jan, that was a real comfort to her from the word of God. It was really to be told by God the Father through his word that this sickness of your husband Norm is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. So that's why I'm here today. The second illustration, probably, it's from the Word of God as well, and it's from Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. Some of us may have heard the story. The centurion. Battling away. I will read the 10 verses from Scripture, and that will put it in context. Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. And this is talking about Luke, the physician, talking about Jesus. When he, Jesus, had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a certain centurion slave who was highly respected by him was sick and about to die. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. And when they had come to Jesus, they earnestly entreated him, saying, he is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue. Now Jesus started on his way with them. When he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not fit for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For indeed, I am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marvelled at him and turned and said to the multitude that was following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Bad news. On the day of the operation, that's it, outside the theatre, there's the theatre doors, and I was outside, and you just sit at a couple of chairs, and the surgeon's there, the knife man. Wonderful man, beautiful man, about 42, 43 years of age. And he goes to, he says, I'm going to do this, and this, and this, and this. You happy about that? I said, yes. He said, okay, sign. And he signed. He had a good sense of humour, and he had a black felt pen in his hand. He said, with this, he said, I'm going to mark which leg I'm going to take off. But he didn't take my leg off. He took my lung out, and he came in the back way. I've got a big scar there, and he took my lung out. I went into the theatre at 12 noon. At 10 minutes past 2 in the afternoon, I came out and he phoned Jan and he said the operation was a success. We were able to take the whole lung out. And just to qualify that, we have 2 lobes on this lung and 3 lobes on this one. As far as I know, I'll get it in a minute. But he could not tell. He said, with all the x-rays and scans, I can't tell if the cancer has gone to the second lobe. If it's just the first one, we take that. If it's the second one, we take your whole lung. And it had gone. So he said, the operation was a success. We've taken your whole lung. So it's just so wonderful. If I'd been at Margaret River, we would have had to go to Bunbury or to Perth. And where we were living in our friend's flat, the hospital, 10, 12 minutes away. Surgeon, specialist, 10, 12 minutes away. If I had to have a special scan or whatever, blood test, 15, 20 minutes away. A wonderful provision from the Lord. And now I'd like to share with you, it's the best place to do it. We knew a man and his wife in South Australia. He was a farmer. And they're both attending church. You may have heard a little place called Woodna. Anyhow, they had 2 children, but with the second kiddie they'd had problems during the babies and then the birth. And their second kiddie, and they'd seen the pastor, and he'd prayed for them and the baby and for all of them to come to know the Spirit of God. So it was about 4 or 6 weeks later, John was shearing sheep on his farm, and then it was as if he'd been thinking and thinking of what he had heard at church. And he said, started to say, God is love. God is love. God is love. And he told me, he said, Norm, I saw the cross. He said, it was so beautiful. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And he went home, and his wife had been hanging out the washing, and the Lord spoke to her. And they got together, sat down, and compared notes about what had happened. And they both believed. And I share that with you all here this morning. That word, believe, is for all of us this morning. They believed. Never mind the words challenge and commitment, forget those. The word believe is an English one. It means to trust, to accept, to receive, to put your confidence in, to rely upon. So I leave that with you, to believe. Don't know where I am. Never mind. I will hear. I will hear say now, God is just and the justifier of all who believe. That's so powerful, that's so important. That's an absolute, a total absolute. God is just and the justifier of all who believe. It is not what I need to do, work for God in church, outside in the community, or give money. It's not to do something for God to please him. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. It is him up there coming down to us in the person of his Son to make us right with him. It's all by love, it's all by grace, and it's all by faith. These are all from God. And until the God-shaped blank within all of us in this room is filled by Christ, we do not have any hope at all. That is true for everyone here today, everyone in Australia, and everyone in the world, because it is his creation. Adam and Eve blew it in the garden, and Christ has won it back for us. We have a few months back was Christmas, and I can identify with this statement I heard Peter Nicol, our other elder, say here. We can handle the baby Jesus at Christmas in a manger. That's no big deal. But it's the man Christ who unsettles me. And that's so true. It's the man Christ who unsettles me. Easter will be with us shortly. That's where God our Father's justice was carried out for us, on the cross. And that cross is empty. Christ has risen. He is alive. He has conquered death, and all the other enemies against us have been defeated by him. So, have I given you hope this morning? It's three questions. I'll give you the three questions and I'll answer them. Have I given you hope this morning? Yes. Have I given you blessed hope this morning? Yes. Have I given you glorious hope this morning? Yes. I'd like to read now a poem. I love poems ever since I became a Christian. Music and poems were beautiful, and this one can be sung to a tune, but the words are so beautiful for us all here. I'll just do the chorus and then the two verses. In your time, in your plan, in your way, in your hand, in your love, in your grace, Lord, we stand. In your name, in your might, in your peace, in your light, Lord, we face our tomorrows in you. For our lives are now hid in your Son, and in him with you, Father, we're one. As each day in his strength we move through, Lord, we face our tomorrows in you. In our hearts, Lord, your spirit's a flood of the life that you gave through Christ's blood. And each day in your spirit renewed, Lord, we face our tomorrows in you. Would you please like to join with me while I pray? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's your name. Your title is God, but your Father. Thank you, Father, my sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Thank you, Father, for being here with us this morning. And we pray this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.